Emma Davies, thank you so much for joining us on 2SER this morning. How are you?
I'm well, thanks, Willie. Thanks for having me.
No, it's great to have you on. I'm quite excited because you are absolutely the first of your type of creative that we have had on the show. So I've had lots of painters, a few sculptors, a few ceramicists. What do I call you? Are you a sculptor? Are you a weaver? Or are you kind of...
That's the million-dollar question. I think more of myself like a sculptor these days, but not really. I don't know what I am. I find it difficult to find a title, but I'm a maker and I work with kind of fibres, I suppose.
Right. And so if we were to describe to our listeners your current style, because I know you have had a very long creative career, but your current work, how would we describe that?
Well, I work with polypropylene and I have done so since 2004. And I suppose the medium is like a vehicle for ideas that are sort of born through the process of making. I suppose if you were to look at it, you could probably say that I was contemporizing weaving. I create woven forms, but using a contemporary medium and a contemporary style or contemporary process.
Right, because they're 3D. What you create are 3D either structures or hangings or sculptures.
Yep.
One easy analogy for listeners is the kind of onion bag that you get and how you at one point you started putting pieces inside the onion bag and then kind of creating the shape and then removing the piece.
Yeah, so I wanted to learn how to weave because I loved looking at woven forms and weavings, but I didn't have the patience, and I just remember staring into a fruit bowl one night and noticing the polypropylene packaging that you get around your lemons and oranges and onions, and realizing there was already a structure there that I could stretch over a form and then stitch in and out of the holes. And once I took the object out, I was left with a woven form, but I hadn't learnt how to weave. So that's how I started working with that material. After sort of becoming bored of sewing in and out of each hole, I sort of realised that the medium was just so beautiful by itself. So I started appreciating the material for what it was rather than trying to cover it up with string.
And where do you get your inspiration from?
The material, I think. Well, obviously nature plays a big part in inspiration, and also residencies when you get to work with other people and collaborate with different artists, and you get inspiration from that. And definitely, you know, if you are lucky to get a residency and you go away and you work with somebody else, you might find that a year later you're producing something and you realise that that's inspired by a trip that you'd had. As you know, things sort of take a while sometimes to surface. I get really inspired by working with the material because I love to just keep exploring it and seeing what I can do next with it and how I can manipulate it and change it. And, I mean, that's been a common thread through all of my work, is completely exploring the material. And in that process, the ideas come.
And what did you think you would be when you were five?
I can't remember being five. But... I would have been spending quite a bit of time in my mother's factory when I was five. My parents were both fashion designers when I was five, and I was probably dragged into the factory a lot, and maybe that inspired me. I mean, my mother was looking at material and working out how to shape it and turn it into a piece of clothing. And I suppose I do the same, really. I look at a medium and I try to cut it and fold it and melt it and bend it and weave it and do whatever. So maybe when I was five, being in that factory space might have inspired me, but I don't really remember.
Yeah, that's all right. Do you remember the first piece you sold?
Well, I remember the first polypropylene piece I sold because I had a little tiny exhibition in the city in Melbourne, and I was really excited because I was so excited by this medium, and having that exhibition and selling work in that show made me realise that other people sort of liked the material as well. And that was pretty important, that exhibition, because that kicked off a whole stream of really fantastic opportunities that came from that being curated into different sort of really important exhibitions. And then it just snowballed from there. So I do remember the little basket I first sold.
Yeah, I can imagine the response from the audience at that first exhibition was quite exciting.
Well, it was pretty timely actually, because a curator saw that work in that little exhibition, and she curated me into Woven Forms, which was a survey of contemporary fibre artists from Indigenous and non-Indigenous Australians. So that was, I think, about 50-odd weavers, and most of them were traditionally weaving, but I wasn't, which was a little bit controversial for some of the weavers, because weaving is such a laborious art, and I can actually create a piece quite quickly. So I was sort of cutting out all that laborious work and fast-tracking to a finished piece. So there was a little bit of...
There was a bit of tension there.
That's okay. I held my own. But, yeah, that particular show really snowballed things from there, and I've just had so many fantastic residencies and trips and collaborations around Australia, out of Australia as well, with this medium.
When did you first start calling yourself an artist?
I suppose when I went to South Africa with the South Project, with a group of 20 other artists. We were over there doing a series of events really to try and, well, I suppose, look at whether or not we could collaborate with other artists in the Southern Hemisphere. And I suppose when I went on that trip, that cemented it for me. I thought, oh, well, I'm considered an artist. I don't love the word. I kind of find it easier to call myself a maker. But, yeah, okay. I am an artist now.
And can you tell us about one of the favourite pieces you've created?
Well, I'm still working on a favourite piece, actually, but I've been developing this series of works, which I call them pelts, or their skins or barks. But, yeah, they're my favourite thing to date, actually, and I'm still exploring them, and I'm still trying to work out exactly what it's all about. But I suppose there's nothing too complex about it. It's really just when I was working with the material, I noticed that the way that I was manipulating it created this skin-like texture, almost like glow mesh, you know, when you hold glow mesh in your hand and it's sort of, it's like a fabric.
Yes.
And it's like a skin. So I just accidentally created that texture with the material. And so my favourite piece is the pelt at the moment.
And what do you do to get out of a creative funk?
I work harder. I really do. I just keep pushing through. And if that's not working, I think I garden. I've got a lot of garden to manage, so I do go and hang out there, I think.
And how do you know when a piece is done?
Well, wake up in the morning and have another look. And you can pretty much decide whether it's done. But I suppose... you just know, really. Yeah, I think by now you kind of know.
It's an instinct.
Yeah, but I do tend to do stuff late at night and think, oh, great, that's done. And I walk in the morning and I know pretty quickly whether it's actually done or not.
Who would you say is your biggest fan?
My friends are my biggest fans, I think. They're very supportive, actually. They're great. And it's really great to be able to talk with some of them about, you know, what I'm working on and what does it mean and blah, 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 what does it look like. And so, yeah, probably my friends, my close friends.
And who's your biggest critic?
My children.
Oh, I love the children / partner critics. It's always, tell us more about
well,
that.
Well, they're always quick to just say straight up what they think. They don't try and there's no
filter.
Yeah. Yeah, no, definitely my kids, I think.
Yeah. And out of interest, are they creative themselves? Because it sounds like you've come through quite a, there's a creative gene in your family.
Look, there is definitely a creative gene in my family, and it spreads right through to cousins, and it's fantastic. And everyone's actually differently creative. And my kids are creative, but again, sort of not, they're not making things, but they are creative. I just don't think it's surfaced yet. And it took a long time to surface for me too. I mean, I really didn't start making things until 1993. Prior to that, I wasn't really interested in making art at all. So things might come for them. They're not doing it now, but they probably will later.
Last question. What are you working on at the moment?
Well, I'm working on working my way out of this pandemic. I am working on the vessels at the moment because they're a nice little bit of fun to have. It's accessible for people to have in their house at the moment to play around with and rearrange, and the people are responding to them. And it's really nice to go back to what I started with at this time, which is what we seem to be doing, don't we? We seem to be going back to the basics. I am working on a very large scale commission for a company in Western Australia, which has been put on hold, but that's sort of humming in the background. So a large commission and just playing with the vessels until everything sort of gets moving again.
Out of interest, in non-COVID times, how much percentage of your work would you say is commission?
90%, I would say.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, usually I'm working on a commission, and then maybe while I'm doing that, a different idea will come, which I can sort of put that idea aside and then explore that once the commission's done. I can, you know, work back and play around a bit. But yeah, I tend to be spending most of my time on commissions, which is fantastic.
That really is fantastic. It's like you're almost a full-time employed artist, which I mean every artist is.
No, well, I do it full time. I do spend some time, one afternoon a week, working with kids. And again, it's sort of the same theme where we get a medium and what can we do with it? You know, like that's how the class started. Really, was like, here's 500 bottle tops. What can we do with them? How can we turn them inside out, upside down, stack them, do whatever? And that process is exactly the way I work with my medium, but I was just doing it with recycled materials with kids. That helps me also continually explore stuff. And kids are fantastic because they do unexpected things.
I was going to say, I bet the kids is a real inspiration.
Yeah, I've just loved it. It's a bit of a labour of love, but it's really refreshing to step away from your own work for a minute and muck around with stuff with kids. And that's been fantastic. So hopefully when this is all over, I can go back to that little class again. If I've got an exhibition booked in, I'm not usually doing sort of commissions then. I'll just really sort of knuckle down and try and develop whatever it is that the exhibition's about.
Oh, Emma, thank you so much for your time this morning. I really appreciate it, and I look forward to keeping an eye and seeing when your next exhibition is out. And enjoy the rest of your day creating.
Okay, great. Thanks, Willie.
Thanks, Emma. Bye.
Okay, bye.